tonight, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew. And tonight, if you will, today, I thought it was important today we take a little bit of time in the morning service and even again here tonight and focus, bring our focus in on missions and in regards to faith promise missions. And as we preached on this morning, our church has been faithful since the very beginning and day one of supporting missionaries that have served around the world. As a matter of fact, tonight, let me just kind of share with you. I know Rosalind gives me a sheet on a regular basis, and I stay in pretty good contact with many of the missionaries as much as we can. Either we get emails, we get the newsletters from them to try to get reports of what's going on in the ministry. We try to highlight a missionary family in here on Sunday mornings to kind of tell us what's going on. But, you know, some of the missionaries that we I don't know what the total is. I kind of looked at the financial part of it this morning before the service, and right now it looks like you know, we have the World Baptist Fellowship. We support several missionaries through the World Baptist Fellowship. If you're not sure what the World Baptist Fellowship is, that is a fellowship of churches that of like our church, out of which our church began in 1957. The pastor, Brother Carroll, came here to Wayne, Michigan, and started the Calvary Baptist Church. And he's a graduate of the old Bible Baptist Seminary, and so that is was a part of the World Baptist Fellowship. And so you had the college part of their ministry, and then you also have the mission side of the ministry. And so on the mission side of it, we support Jacques Alexander. Jacques has been in our church, and a missionary that is to Haiti. He's Haitian and grew up in Haiti, so it's always good to be involved, and I love being with Jacques Alexander down in Haiti. And if you ever want to go to Haiti, you might want to let things settle down a little bit right now, but pray for them and pray for their ministry. We also support Gary and Joey Bacon, Gary Bacon, missionary in Mexico. And then Brother Bacon now, Joey, is our World Baptist Fellowship Mission Director, and we support him as he leads the missionaries and that. We also support Patty Bullion, missionary to New Zealand. And I think, I can't remember, Roz, has she been in our church? I think that is one missionary we've not yet had. When we're able to, we picked her up for support. We'll try to have Patty in the church. She's a missionary in New Zealand. We got three missionaries in New Zealand. Patty's one of them. She's a single young missionary. We support Frank Brim in Brazil and Arzer Brown in Hawaii. If you ever decide to go to Hawaii on Maui, you can look up Arzer Brown. He's one of our, we've supported Arza since he first went to Bible college, graduated at Massillon Baptist Bible College, I think down, I'm not sure if they graduated Massillon or not. But anyway, Arzer Brown and his brother, is Ernie Brown. Ernie has been a missionary. He originally was a missionary to Hawaii, but now missionary to Ecuador, and now kind of semi-retired with some health issues that they got going on. And but anyway, pray for Arza Brown. Dale Brown, we've given you regular updates on, a missionary to New Zealand. I had the privilege to lead Dale to the Lord, and he married one young lady out of our church here, Janet. And they got married, went to Bible college and met each other. Well, they knew each other from here, got married, and then surrendered to the mission field there in New Zealand. Pray for Dale, by the way, because Dale has had some health issues. He's got MS and is doing pretty good, but sometimes it gets the best of him, and so multiple sclerosis. So pray for Dale. We support Stephen Bird out of Ecuador, David Cato. Is now ministry is in New Mexico, and we support he and his wife. Pray for them. Their church right now, the churches that they've established, they're on the Navajo Indian Reservation in New Mexico. COVID is kind of sweeping through that, and their ministry is getting hit really hard with COVID there. So we support David Cato in New Mexico. John and Linda Cunningham in Dominican Republic, we support them. And that's so good, faithful missionaries. I think they went to school with Tony and Roz, good friends of Tony and Rosalind. And so it's good to be able to support the Cunninghams. Misha Deanne, we had as our missionary family in Ukraine. She's been in our church. She's our missionary family of the week that we highlighted this morning. We got a family, Joshua Islan. Joshua is out of Paris, Texas, and Joshua is one of those young men that served in Africa for a few years in the ministry there, but felt led of the Lord to come to inner city Detroit and establish a church. So they're on the east side of Detroit, in downtown Detroit, trying to reach out there and continuing to build and to win people to Christ. So he is here now in Michigan, and with the idea of, you know, we got some young men going to the inner cities. That's great. Here's a launch date. Matter of fact, next Sunday is a launch date for in San Francisco for Jake Woodfin. And I'll get to him here in a moment. But on Jake Woodfin, they're getting ready to launch a new church. It's been a real struggle. You know, when you surrender and go to the mission field, and as soon as you get there and get started, the coronavirus hit. That's what happened to Jake and Haley, his wife, and that. So it's been a long, rough year and a half there in San Francisco. But they're now finally getting ready to launch a new church and a new ministry there in the Sunset Edition. So if you're going through San Francisco, just on your travels, you're welcome to stop and say hi to Jake, and they'd love to see you there, so pray for them. Caleb Fielding, pray for Caleb. He's a missionary to New England. I saw him the last time. He's been on the road now, I think almost 5 years, raising his support to go to England. And England's expensive, but he's getting right down to the wire about getting ready to go. And a single man, getting ready to go to England. James Foster, missionary to Honduras, we support. And Phil Gagnon to Honduras. Tim Gunther in New Zealand. Gunther's work hand-in-hand with Dale and Janet Brown in New Zealand, and we support them in their work and their ministry. Betty Hall, missionary to Mexico, single lady. Dawn Hart, missionary to Portugal, single lady. Brad Hastings, and that was also ministering to the Native Americans in the New Mexico area down on the Indian reservations down there. So pray for Brad Hastings and his family. Pray for Elaine Hawkins, missionary to Brazil. Tim Hawkins, her son, missionary to Brazil. Sandra Henderson, Brazilian ministry. She's working with back here in the States now. Pray for her. Norm Higgins is in Mexico, but up in the northern part near, not too far. Can't think what the word is now for it there. But anyway, he's in Mexico, but not too far across the Mexican border there. Pray for them. And that's really a hot spot all the way, that border all the way down through there with all the immigration things going on. These missionaries really also need your prayers. Bill Horton, let me just share this with you tonight. I shared a little bit this morning. Bill called me from Brazil this week. We have supported, our church has supported Bill since he first surrendered to the mission field, and he has been faithful. They've established a lot of churches there in Brazil and a Bible Institute. His sons, John and Tim and the family and that, they've been in Brazil all these years. But Mary now her health is getting very bad. And so he called me from Brazil to say, Pastor, he said, we're going to have to head back to America. He said she just can't get the health care down here, and the churches are in good hands there in Brazil. And so pray for him. They're going to work on a Brazilian ministry here in the States because a lot of people immigrate here to the U.S., so pray for them. His son, John Horton, now is our assistant mission director. And pray for John. And then also another son, Kyron Horton, is a missionary to Brazil. Kyron is still, I think he's now was back in the field. Pray for him. And then Wendell Johnson, missionary to Mexico. So those are the World Baptist Fellowship missionaries that we support and are faithful to. We also support other missionaries that are not connected to the World Baptist Fellowship. A Place of Hope in Africa. Many of you are up to date on that. By the way, our ladies' ministries work on a project with their to be able through Julie Barrett to be able to send. It was in the bulletin. Can't remember what was it they're making. I have to look at it and see. But Julie Barrett, they're not here today. They're on vacation. But they're making dresses and shorts for a Place of Hope orphanage in Nigeria. So pray for them. That's in the bulletin. And we support Walt Troop, who heads up that ministry. ABWAE, Bob Hamilton, we support as a missionary. The Arlington Baptist College through our impact partners. And then the Baptist Bible Fellowship International, we support through them, Joshua Bell. And we had been supporting Paul Hopkins. Let me just share with you, Paul Hopkins grew up here in Michigan, and but has had severe problems with his eyesight, and so much so that it's affecting him on the mission field. And we just got recently a resignation letter from Paul Hopkins that he's going to kind of have to come off the mission field due to poor eyesight. So that was really a sad thing to see. But Joshua Bell is doing a good job, and we support them. The Baptist Evangelistic Missionary Association, Dan Brooks, we support them. The Baptist International Missions, BIMI, DeLuca, the family, DeLuca family, we support them. And then the Baptist Mid-Missions, Kelly McMaster. Kelly's been in our church, and so is Joe Mifsud, M-I-F-S-U-D. They're good friends, I believe, with the Wager family, and have known the Wagers for a year. There's somebody else you need to pray for, Mrs. Wagers. Is trying to get back in church here, but she's got shingles right now, and it's been pretty bad for her, so pray for them. I just got a notification that through the Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples, that Dr. Gene Burge is going to have to step down. But we have supported him for years, and so that will be coming off of our missionary support in that. But Dr. Burge has, I think, been here for mission conferences at our church, but he's having some major health issues. And so, you know, when you think about that, when you go through some of these names, we need more young people, more people to step up, to be able to step in and fill some of these slots as we see some of these coming off the field. But through the Baptist Mission Forgotten Peoples, we support Jason Woon. Baptist World Mission out of Decatur, Alabama, we support Aaron Peterson. The IBFI, International Baptist Fellowship, we support John Yelly. And then Central Michigan Clearinghouse, Dan Tesson. Dan, to the Philippines, is a missionary that was out of Open Door Baptist Church, grew up at Open Door Baptist Church over in Midland, and that. So we support the Tesson family, and also Dan Brown. We have one evangelist that right now that we're supporting, Alan Harris, and that travels from local church to local church. Being an evangelist is a calling, just like a missionary. Not everybody can do that or does that. And there are fewer and fewer evangelists that are out there doing a great work for the Lord. Brother Allen's one of those local church evangelists, and so continue to pray for him. Billy Carruth, pray for him. Billy's had a tremendous impact on a Muslim, different Muslim mission fields. Pray for him and the East-West ministries and that. Pray for Independent Faith Missions, Robert Oatman, we're praying for, and Maranatha Baptist Missions, Bill Waltrip. The Shepherd's Ministry, our church has now supported for several years. That's over in, Wisconsin. I don't know, have you ever heard of the Shepherd's Ministry? Yes. And so our church supports the Shepherd's Ministry over there in Wisconsin. Vision Baptist Missions, John Waltz, we support. Word of Life, we have a couple, three ministries there. Stephen Bahago and Ishmael Coriad, we support. And then also the Detroit Rescue Mission down in Detroit, in the heart of Detroit, we support them. $100 every month, and we send to the Detroit Rescue. What a great work that is, and rescue work around the world. More and more, you know, my wife and I were involved many years with the Saginaw Rescue Mission. Matter of fact, my mother-in-law, Hazel, worked at the Saginaw Rescue Mission. My kids, when they were growing up, you want an education, take your children that you have and go down to the rescue mission, and they have services down there, and let them see as they're there, another side of life. If you've never been there, you ought to go there and see the rescue work that they're doing, trying to impact people's lives. And, you know, it's amazing to see what happens. I met a man one time that worked at General Motors 25 years, married and had children, and got his life messed up and ended up losing his family, ended up losing his house, ended up on the street up in Saginaw, and ended up at the Saginaw Rescue Mission. And there got saved and began to turn his life around for the cause of Christ. So rescue work is a great work and a great ministry. And so we have the Detroit Rescue Mission. Compassion International, we support a young man there, Sylvan. Right now, Pastor Adam and Haley, the youth department, are corresponding with them, a boy in Togo, Africa. Grace Baptist Church, we have a missionary sent there out of Don 6, missionary to Scandinavia. And I got the contact with that missionary family. They've been in our church, young family with young children. And Jim and Sharon Winters is the one that put us in touch with Don 6, S-I-X-T. They've been in our church and have preached here, so pray for them. Mission 823 is Sean Sullivan, missionary to Ukraine. Sean wanted to be here during our mission conference, couldn't make it during those dates, but he'll be here on the Sunday night service. I think it's October 17th, and he's doing a great job. He is a hardworking missionary and faithful, doing a great work in Ukraine. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him in the month of October. One of the newer missionaries that we have is Chosen People's Ministries, and that's to the Jews. Dr. Michael Hertz and his family. His wife is a physician. He is a converted Jew that converted to Christianity, and his ministry for years was in the heart of New York City. But here this year, they've made a move. Now they're down in southern Florida. They've moved their work. They're still with Chosen People's Ministry, and I'll have to have him back one of these days. A great soul winner and a great faithful servant of the Lord, and so we have a part in Jewish missions supporting Chosen People's Ministries through Dr. Michael Hertz and trying to reach Jews for Christ. Then we also support John Mislin, one of the newer missionaries, and through Global Independent Baptist Missions, and then Hope's Cry International in Uganda, the Todd Allen Ministries, and the work that they're doing there. So God has been good. You know, it's kind of like flowing. You get a lot of things coming in and going out. It always kind of breaks your heart when you see a veteran missionary coming off the field and that. But what we need is for God to reach down. And the message tonight I want to take you to is in Matthew chapter 9, and when you look at it, and this all ties together in missions tonight, when you get to Matthew chapter 9, and this is really Jesus here returning to Capernaum, and he heals the palsied man. You also find here, I love it in verse 9, where he calls Matthew. Notice this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. So we find here the conversion or the leading of Matthew to become a follower of Christ and one of the eyewitnesses, one of the apostles that follow the Lord. And then Jesus goes head to head with some parables here with the Pharisees and the parables of the garment and the bottle. But what I want to focus on here tonight, just for a few minutes, is beginning in verse 35. And this is where Jesus is preaching and healing in Galilee in the northern part of Israel. And there we find that Jesus went about, and you got to keep in mind now, this is early in his ministry, and here in this same chapter, he just called Matthew, and in this chapter, he's traveling throughout, and in Galilee, had a major impact there of reaching people for Christ. And it says in verse 35, and Jesus, he went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and then healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Boy, you talk about an impact. I mean, that would have an impact in how that swept through Galilee, the people being saved, and not only that, people being healed of their sicknesses and the diseases and the challenges that they had. But when he saw the multitudes, in verse 36, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So tonight, again, I just want to bring the focus in on tonight on Faith Promise Missions, but I'll give you a simple four-point outline tonight, four simple things, and we're going to see it in the last two verses of this chapter. And then saith in verse 37, he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So the thing about this, you know, when you look at it in verse 36, if we could tonight, we would take in verse 36 what Jesus saw here. You know, when we see the masses of people around the world, it's one thing to see this. I don't know about you, but it seems like every day I see people trying to get to America. Matter of fact, just tonight before church, I was catching a little bit of a news clip, and here come more people trying to get to our border down in the Southwest, trying to get to a country or nation that they can have more freedoms, more liberties, a better way of life. So this immigration has become really an important issue. And so one way to look at it, and I don't want to get into the political side of the debate or the immigration issue. I think what we ought to get, and when we look at, when you see these images on the TV, we need to get verse 36 in our minds. Because that's how God's going to look at them. We look at it and say, you know, hey, we got a political problem going on. Things are not being handled right in Washington, D.C. You got people coming. You got laws on the books to deal with immigration. And there's a lot of violations going on if they want to come. You know, years ago, it was all about Ellis Island, coming in through Ellis Island. Now they're just coming in, and now they're coming from all nations around the world. So I would challenge all of us tonight to think with a new paradigm, think with a new way of thought when you look at this. Don't look at the immigration problem we have. We need to look at it as the way Jesus would look at it, and simply that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. So when you think about that, in the world that we live in, I don't know if you follow it much or not, but they project this year, in the year of 2021, this year, the world population is going to be at approximately 8 billion people. That's a lot of people. I got to looking at it, and I went back 1 billion people in America 200 years ago. So when you go back to the year of 1800, so our world population, the world population, not just in America, but the world population in 1800, a little over, 221 years ago, was right at 1 billion. So we've gone from the year of 1800 to 1 billion people at that time. To 2020, we were at 7.9 billion. And the year of 2021, they're saying by the end of this year, the world population probably be at 8 billion people. So when you look at this, the multitudes continue to grow around the world. And by that, here's a projection for you when you look at it. I was looking at some of the projections where they think the population growth is going to go. And this is all has to do with world missions. This all has to do with our focus, our compassion. When you think about it, is the growth rate right now around the world is running right about 1.1%. So with that in mind, in 2050, now I realize in 2050, this is what, 2021, so you got what, 29 years away, I mean 29, I'll be 99 years old, I don't know how old you'll be, but add 29 years to where you're at. So when you get to that age, some of you will be over 100 by then, and still going strong, right? But in 2050, they're projecting 9.9 billion people in the world. So the growth rate continues to climb. Now, why do I say that? It's because Jesus saith unto him, the harvest truly is plenteous. And when he gave these words, that was over 2,000 years ago. So the harvest continues to grow, and I would say tonight we need to look at it through a different lens. We need to look at it and fall in love with people wherever we go, any way possible to reach people for the cause of Christ, both here at home and around the world. So expand your vision tonight. Expand your opportunity to look at it and to realize tonight that this is a great opportunity to show the compassion of Christ. And is it a dark and evil and wicked world? Absolutely. I don't know about you, but anymore, I even hate to turn on any news feed or whatever, however you get your news feed coming through, because it's not good coming through. And I look at all that, but you know, you got to look at the positive side of it, is that Jesus had compassion on the multitudes. So when we look at the multitudes, yeah, is there immigration issues? Yes. Is there problems in the country? Yes. Is there political issues? Yes. All of that. But I look at it tonight and say, let's look at it a little bit deeper and a little bit farther and look at it like Christ looks at it. And that is, there's more opportunity, that the harvest truly is plenteous. And you say, well, when is the Lord's coming back? Did you hear what Ron said this morning? He had a guy that said that the Lord Jesus was coming back Wednesday of this week. Well, today's Sunday. Guess what? He didn't come. But that doesn't mean he's not going to come tomorrow. So we know this. Whenever that last person is to get saved, I don't know. And I don't know when that's going to happen. We just need to know we need to be ready. We need to invest in our children. We need to invest in the next generation. We need to continue to invest in missionaries. We need to continue to be faithful in doing what we're doing. Why? Because the harvest is plenteous. And so point number one tonight in the message simply is that the harvest continues to grow and to expand. And with the trends of the population where we're headed, it's just going to continue to multiply. This is not going to go away. Notice the second thing here. The laborers are few. Now, I went through and I shared with you the missionaries that we're engaged with. And probably, I could take however many that missionaries, I didn't count them, but however many that is, I could take a whole other set of missionaries. I get calls every week, and Roslyn will get calls, and then they'll get forwarded to me. I have a file, electronic file, in my computer in the office over there that says prospective missionaries. Missionaries calling, wanting an opportunity to come into our church, present their field, just to share what God's doing in their life. They're called of the Lord. God has called them into worldwide missions. And there's only so many you can have in. We can only go so far financially as the dollars allow for. Now, this year, we don't have, during the mission conference this year, we're not doing the card where the mission card where you tear off the perforation and then you keep part and you send it in. That has never been a good gauge of, of what's the better gauge. What we watch is when the offerings come in week by week, whatever comes in the mission money, that's what we've got to work with. During that time. So you work within the framework of what the cash flow is to be able to send back out to the missionaries that are on the mission field. You can't really go by the card. I know the card is there to be able to challenge us, to get us to consider missions, and to consider us to be engaged in faith promise missions, but it's never been a good barometer to be able to push the card, to be able to make decisions off of that for the missionaries on the field. So for every missionary that we have come, we probably turn down three. And that, so the need is great. And by that, what am I saying to you tonight? The laborers are few. So the more we go, the harder it is. And here's the sad part is, I serve on the mission committee in Texas and that on the World Baptist Fellowship. And so we sit in mission meetings, and missionaries have to get approved by a mission committee to be able to go out or through a local church. The missionaries are always sent by a local New Testament church. Mission work is a local New Testament command in the Scripture. So we as a mission agency, we don't send the missionaries out. The local churches, you can go to every one of those missionaries I mentioned tonight, they have a local New Testament church, wherever their home is or whoever their sending church is, that sends them out. That's their sending church. But in order to get the field, there's a lot of things. They coordinate through an agency that handles really, let's take Jacques Alexander, for example. Money comes in for Jacques Alexander to Haiti all over the world, really. And being on the mission committee, I get a report every month from the mission agency that shows the missionary's name, then what church it is around America, and then how much money that church gave to that ministry and it'll show every ministry's every missionary's on there. It'll show you what their work fund is. It'll show you what their personal fund is. They have personal living expenses. They have a work fund that they got to be able to work out of, and then if there's any special designated monies that come in for that missionary. So the agency becomes a clearinghouse, if you will, or a sending unit, and then we have a mission director that coordinates with them. So I sit in these mission meetings, in these board meetings with these missionaries a few times a year, a couple times a year, whatever, and they will come through and we'll get the new candidates that have gotten out of Bible college. They've surrendered to the mission field, and now they're being screened to be able to go to some foreign field somewhere. And so, your heart always goes out to them. You come in, and they have challenges like everybody else does. They've been called of God to go to serve in Uganda or Spain or New Zealand or whatever, but it's really the local church that is the sending church. And so what I find is a challenge, though. The laborers are few. Here's what I'm not seeing. By that meaning that the missionaries, veteran missionaries that went to the field back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and even the 70s and during that decade. Now our veteran missionaries, that many of them are starting to come off the field. And so the hard part is the attrition rate is so great that missionaries are coming off the field and new ones going onto the field are not keeping up. So the decline rate, we see it going the other way, going down. For example, let me ask you this. When Arza Brown decides that he no longer can do mission work, who will be the next missionary that will go to Hawaii and continue on? Now, they've established churches, these missionaries, and praise the Lord, that's the way the biblical method is to do what Paul did. They go into an area, they preach the gospel, they begin to win people to Christ, they establish a local New Testament church, they immediately find a national pastor, they begin to train them, they put them through a Bible Institute. Anytime I'm in Haiti, Jacques Alexander is really, really good at this. They get young men or men that, you know, and that are national pastors, Haitians that have grown up in Haiti, called of God to serve of God and willing to pastor a congregation. Then they go through a three-year Bible Institute program as they then go. So when I'm in Haiti, I'm usually hanging out or going places or doing things with the national Haitian pastors that are there. I always feel safe when I'm with the national Haitian pastors. What you don't want to do is be running around Haiti down there and you're not with that group of guys, and because they can talk the language, they Croatian, and you always feel like you know, you're a little bit safer with them. So when you think about the laborers are few, we need more and more. But on the field, these missionaries, as they come off, they've left behind churches established, Bible institutes established, and then a training ground to train the next generation of preachers and missionaries. And now we got missionaries, we got mission works that are sending out missionaries from their churches. That's the cycle that you want to see. Is, you know, we support a missionary from here, they go to a foreign country, they preach the gospel, win people to Christ, establish a Bible Institute, establish local churches, and from those churches then send out missionaries from there, and the cycle repeats itself. And the Philippines has been great about that. Other places around the country have been great about that. Foreign mission work, sending out missionaries to the field. But here, Jesus said, point number two, the laborers are few. Based on the population growth, the laborers are few. Now, notice point number three. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. So it all starts with prayer, and I think we should be maybe more diligent in our prayer life, and even asking God to reach down, take a young person, or it doesn't have to be necessarily even a young person. I don't know what it was like, Tony and Roz, when you were there, but when I was in Bible school, we had young people there that were right out of high school, but we had people in their 20s. When I got there, I was 19 years old. But we had people in their 30s. We had people surrendering in their 40s, even their 50s, in a local church somewhere, and they come to the seminary to train and go through the Bible program there and get a Bible degree and that established, and then they go out and serve from there. You're not too old. So, you know, so we need more workers. So it starts with prayer. And maybe what we need to pray, one of the things we should probably be praying for, is that God will reach down and touch the lives of another Dale and Janet Brown in our congregation like he's done so with Dale and Janet. We need more young people that would be willing to surrender and that to be able to go. So it all starts with prayer here. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. And why is that so? Because point number four is simply this. Look at it. That he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Mission work and missions is all about God's business and God's work. It's God that calls the missionaries. It's God that calls the pastors and places them. It's God that calls the evangelists and places them into those ministries. We need to pray for more people that would be engaged, that God would reach down and put that within the hearts of individuals to be able to surrender. So I love this morning the testimony that Bob Mervin gave in Sunday school. And you know what's interesting? Many will go, but many will not stay. Many will not do the hard work that it takes to get there. I remember getting to school in the first week, And I don't know what it was like when you guys were there, but when we got there, we had about 250 incoming freshmen when I got there at that time. And so the president of the seminary stood up and he said, look around you, look to your right, look to your left, and look at all the people that are sitting in here as incoming freshmen into the seminary. He said, 3 years or 4 years from now, whatever it is, depending on what program you are, many of you will not be here and many of you will not make it. And I looked, and I just kind of, it kind of floored me. I kind of sat there, I was kind of stunned because I thought, wow, you know, what do I do? Do I quit today? No, you don't do that. So I looked at it and I thought, well, I looked around all these 250. I said, God, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea how hard this is. But I do know one thing. 3 years or 4 years from now, I will finish. And I will do no matter what it takes at all costs to be able to get through those training days. And the missionaries went through the same thing. The pastors go through the same thing. And you know what? When it got tough, people started bailing out. People started quitting along the way. When you can only get, I remember my first job there was for $1.60 an hour, trying to figure out how to go to seminary on $1.60 an hour. Guess what, folks? That doesn't work. Nita will tell you stories that when her and Vola got to seminary, they didn't have much. And she remembers in the dormitory as a young single seminary student opening a can of peas. I would have gagged and throw it up right there. There's no way I would eat it. But open a can of peas, and that was your supper for the day. They didn't have any money, you know, to go with. And so you worked hard. And I remember those days were hard, and you poured everything into it. I remember, you know, the first class was at 7 in the morning, a class at 7, a class at 8, a class at 9. You had chapel in there. You had another class at 11 and that through there. So then, and then we all were down there. You don't have any money, so we all worked. I worked in a factory. And Mark and Pam, you guys were down there. You know how hard it is. You go to work somewhere. So I went to work from 3:30 in the afternoon till midnight and worked a full-time job. So when you get out of school at noon, you got to run home, grab some lunch. You got a couple hours to try to study or catch a short nap if you can. And go to work. You work till midnight. You come home, take a shower, and again, you try to study and get ready to go. But the next morning, you got to be right back up. So you live on about 4 to 5 hours sleep a night, and taking a full load of 16 to 18 hours. And some of those were hard subjects, and that very difficult. And so a lot of people look at that and start going through all that saying, I'm not going to do this. And so guess what? They start dropping away. But no matter what it is here, there's got to be a training ground. Same thing when you go down to Haiti. There are many that will go to the Bible Institute there in Port-au-Prince, and many of them will not stay. Many of them will not do the work and do the commitment to be able to get through it. So here's 4 points tonight. Point number one, the harvest in verse 37 truly is plenteous. So just look around you. So the next time you look at the immigration thing going on in the world that we live in, it's going to continue to grow by leaps and bounds. Point number two, the laborers that we have in the Lord's work are fewer and fewer along the way. We're not keeping up with the population trends. And then third point is we need to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. It's really God's business. This is God's work. This is not my issue to solve. This is God's, and we just need to pray and ask God to raise up more young men and women or whoever to go and to do the work of the missionaries. Now, when you look at it here, it's going to be exciting this next week, next 2 weeks, because we'll have young families. The young family going to Romania, it's a young couple, but they have 5 children. They have surrendered to the mission field, been through school, and if you're going to travel with 5 children, and you're raising your support, and you're going to go to the other side of the world in Romania and serve the Lord and preach the gospel. So the other families that are coming, they're younger families that have younger children. So it'll be exciting to see what their calling is, what their testimony is, and then what we do as churches, we partner with them to help them get the gospel to wherever they're going. So when you think about it here, point number three is pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. It starts with prayer. And then fourthly, that he will send, that God will send forth laborers into that harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight, and thank you for the Lord's Day today. Thank you for Faith Promise Missions. God, I personally thank you for each and every missionary that we are partnered with and being able to support and to pray for. And God, I pray for their safety. I pray for their work and the fruitfulness of their ministries. God, that you will bless them abundantly and keep them safe wherever they serve. God, we do pray and think about here that the growth rates that we see going on in the world that we live in, that the surrendering of the missionaries to the fields around the world is just not keeping up with the population growth trends that we see. And so, God, we pray that you would just be able to send more people into the harvest, into the fields, and that more people would be willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me and use me for the cause of Christ. And, God, I surrender all to do whatever it is that you want me to do. And so, God, we just look around the world today and pray that you have your hand upon our missionary families that will be coming over the next couple of weeks. Keep them safe. We look forward to hearing their calling into ministry, realizing that you will send forth these laborers into the harvest. And that's what these young couples coming to do over the next couple of weeks are doing. They're willing to surrender, take their families, their children, and head to a foreign mission field to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we thank you. We think of the church right down in Dearborn, a brand new church getting started in Dearborn because of the need of the gospel of reaching Muslims for Christ. And so, God, we pray for that church as it launches there. We pray for Josh Eason and their ministry there. You'll continue to have your hand upon them. It'll be fruitful, multiply, and be able to reach more for the Lord Jesus. And God, may we be found faithful here at home doing our part and getting engaged in the Lord's work, because truly the harvest is plentiful. And God, we'll be sure to give you all the glory and the praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.